Welcome to Book Bistro, where book enthusiasts come to chat about the books they love in a warm and supportive environment.
Today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2020. This is Shannon, and today I am here with Melissa, Stacy, and Natalia, and we are talking about romance because, I mean, not that you really need a reason to talk about romance, but we have one this time, and it is that Valentine's Day is just around the corner. So we are sharing some of the most fabulous romances that we have read lately. We will, of course, get started with the usual housekeeping information, and then Natalia will start us off, followed by Stacy, then Melissa, and I will be last. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Book Bistro Podcast. There we have our usual Facebook page where we keep track of our Wednesday reads and also post information about the Friday episodes. We also have a Facebook listener group that you're welcome to join. And if you prefer a different type of listener group, you can contact us and ask about our WhatsApp group. Both groups are pretty small, not super high traffic, and we would love to have you. If you want to get in touch with us off of social media, you can do so by sending an email to thebookbistropodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for our main hosting page, where you can find information on the podcatchers that make Book Bistro available to you, you can find that information in our show notes.
So my first book is a book that people on, maybe not so much on the podcast, but definitely on our staff thread have been talking about forever and ever, about how we have to read and we have to read. Really funny. A couple people read them and really enjoyed them and told the rest of us. And then I read it. And then everybody else that was left followed. So I think we've all read this series. I think Georgina and I binged them, which is really fun. And you're wondering what this series is. This is Whiskey Chaser, Bootleg Springs, number one, by Lucy Score and Claire Kingsley. I gotta tell you guys,
every book
in this series is named after a drink, right? Kind of. And I really like the uniqueness of the titles. So this book is about Scarlett. And Scarlett is one of four children. She's the youngest. She has three older brothers who are overbearing. And therefore, she's a hell-raising tomboy with a tool belt. She's also known as a tornado. And her favorite pastimes are drinking any man under the table and two-stepping. Sounds like my kind of girl. But she has zero interest in love. And she's only being neighborly when she claims her sexy next-door neighbor as her new pet project. And who is the next door neighbor? Well, it's Devlin. And he's a man who's rock bottom. His marriage is finished. His political career is on the rocks. He's as straight laced as you can get. And opposite to Scarlett, his 5-year plan to Washington, D.C., destroyed with one well-placed jab. The golden ticket, now one black sheep, relegated to a back West Virginia town that is super tiny called Bootleg Springs, where we all just need to live. And well, Bootleg Springs has two claims to fame. The one is the moonshine and the cold case disappearance of a teen girl. Oops. And oh, yeah. Devlin just wants to go hide, lick his wounds, figure himself out, wallow a little bit. But Scarlett has other ideas for his time and the rest of him. She's determined to bring him back to life, even if getting him back on his feet means never seeing him again. But when the old mystery becomes new news, Scarlet might need his help to survive the scandal. So what's Bootleg Springs all about? And how awesome is that moonshine? Oh. I never thought that I could read about alcohol and it would fall off the page. But this is the series. Whiskey Chaser, Bootleg Springs, book one. And there are six lovely, lovely books in this series. Everything is amazing. Found family, friendship, character development. And I feel like my favorite thing is I couldn't tell it was written by two authors until they wrote at the end of the sixth book who wrote which book. And also,
yes,
first person narrative, but every character sounded so different. I have to say my favorite was book four.
I agree. I love that book too.
Book four was really my favorite.
Book four is amazing.
Of all of them.
That is just such an incredible series. Like, there's nothing out there that's like it
at all.
My first book this evening is a really lovely, delightful surprise to me that I read and loved. It's called Say You'll Be Mine, and it's by Naina Kumar. And this book is about Meghna, and Meghna is kind of in a pickle at the beginning of the book because her very best friend, Seth, she receives a wedding invitation from Seth. And she didn't even really realize that Seth was dating anybody seriously. And she's had a thing for her best friend since they were in college. And the issue is that he's asking Meghna to be his best man. And she's a little like, it's going to be very painful for her. But of course she agrees because she always does. But she's worried he's going to be the one that gets away. Now, at the same time, her mother is really wanting to do some matchmaking. They are an Indian American family. And her mother and father actually met through an arranged marriage. And while they don't expect that of their daughter or of either of their children, they think, why can't it hurt? You know, she's almost 30 and her mom's kind of getting a little impatient for her to get started with her marriage. And Meghna, you know, she wants to make her family happy because she's already sort of broken the mold. She kind of decided she was going to do something different than what the family expectations were. And she became a teacher, and she's sort of an aspiring playwright, kind of secret playwright. And she teaches English and a little bit of drama stuff. Well, then she meets the first prospect, and he is a very grumpy engineer, and his name is Karthik. And so the two mothers introduce their children, Meghna and Karthik. And Karthik is he's a very grumpy engineer in New York, and he is not really interested in ever getting married. He saw what an arranged marriage did to his parents. And he wants no part of it. He wants no part. He doesn't really believe in love. But as Meghna and Karthik start talking, they realize that faking an engagement can get both of their mothers off their backs, and they can kind of figure out things. So they'll kind of help each other out for a few months. Meghna will do some things for Karthik, and then he will come with her to her best friend's wedding. And as they get to know each other, they begin learning more about each other. They begin to kind of see that they have some similarities. They're not as different as they thought. And that the things that are different about each of them kind of complement each other. Mm-hmm. Add in a very awkward bachelor party that Meghna, as the best man, has to host. And of course, it has to be like one of those weekend getaway bachelor parties that are popular now. And then the wedding and some different sort of work-related things that Karthik has going on in New York. And both of them begin to quietly wonder if perhaps there's more to this sort of fake engagement than they ever thought there could be. But there's lots of things that both Meghna and Karthik kind of have to work through before they can even begin to think about the future and maybe having something together. And I love this book beyond all reason. It's just this little lovely surprise. Like I said, I think this is her debut novel. And it was billed as a rom-com. And there's some lovely things about it that are kind of funny. But to me, it's just very gorgeous. And there's some very deep parts. And it's all about like familial expectations and cultural expectations, but also about just two people trying to figure out who they want to be apart from what their families want them to be. And then maybe that together they could be something even greater. It's a lovely book. It's fairly new. I think it just came out in January, actually. It did. And I think I actually might have talked about it for picks, but if I didn't, I should have, because it's lovely. And if you need, it's one of those books that I like to put in the book hug category. And it's just a really lovely romance. It's not quite Closed Door, but it's pretty close. But you won't even miss the steam because the actual chemistry and the kind of slow building romance is just worth everything. This again is Say You'll Be Mine by Naina Kumar.
This is sitting on my iPad currently.
Oh, you must read it. It's so good.
Yes, I'm excited
I'll have to look this one up.
Yeah, it's really good.
My first book tonight is Flavor of the Month by Georgia Beers. And it tells the story of Emma and Charlie. Charlie has it all. A perfect girlfriend, a really good job, a penthouse. And then her girlfriend throws her out.
Oh.
Basically sends her packing. And she has to go home to Shaker Falls, Vermont, back to her hometown. In the hometown, there's Emma. Emma thought Charlie was the love of her life. And then Charlie gets swept off her feet and moves to New York, breaking her heart. So she picks herself up and starts a restaurant, while Charlie goes back to work for her family's bakery.
And ooh, bakeries.
Yes. All good stuff. So they kind of run into each other, and Emma is not having any niceties or anything. She's just letting her know, you hurt me. You were the love of my life. So this book tells the story of them and how they come back together as a couple. That's Flavor of the Month by Georgia Beers. And I hadn't read much gay and lesbian fiction until about a year ago, when Shannon started me, and then I went on hiatus for a while, and now I'm back. And it does tell a really good story about love and broken hearts, and they do find their happier ever after.
So my first book is The Art of Husbandry. This is Mackenzie Country, book one by Jay Hogan. You've heard me talk about Jay Hogan before because I am absolutely in love with her writing. Her Painted Bay series is one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And I was a little bit worried to read a new series by her just because, you know, what if like it wasn't as good as Painted Bay? And although I will say that I don't think anything can quite hold a candle to Painted Bay, Mackenzie Country seems like it will be a very, very close second. So I'm going to start by saying that there are some content warnings here, mostly to do with the past loss of a child. And so if that's something that is difficult for you, definitely be aware of that. So this is the story of Gil. And 18 months ago, Gil's world was upended when he lost his daughter. And ever since then, he's just been like barely surviving. He has super bad nightmares, just so much anxiety. And he's really not sure what what's left of his life. His husband walked out on him, and his job just isn't going well. He's a psychologist. And so he decides that what he needs to do is pack up and take a job in the high country on a sheep station. This is in New Zealand. And he is going to be a cook for a group of shepherds as they're bringing their flocks down from some of their summer pastures. So he travels there and he has no idea like anything about sheep, not much about cooking, but you know, he'll figure it out. But what he doesn't bargain for is Holden Miller, who is the boss of this particular station. And there are sparks between them almost instantly. Holden is about 10 years younger than Gil. They kind of butt heads at first in some ways, but slowly this changes. Holden is dealing with his own stuff. You know, he has some insecurities because his grandfather is dealing with dementia. And Holden was kind of thrust into leadership of the family station like a little bit sooner than he was expecting. And his grandfather, toward the end of his leadership, was making some decisions that weren't necessarily sound because of his dementia. So Holden definitely has his work cut out for him. Neither of them is looking for love, but it finds them in such a beautiful way. It's not a super fast-paced story. It's definitely character-driven. It is about two men who are both like working on themselves in a lot of ways and find that together they can do this better. They can be stronger. They can be a little bit closer to complete. I loved this book so much. The second one is out in print already. It's supposed to be out in audio this month. And the third book is coming out in print at the end of February. And I think we'll have to wait a few months for it in audio. But either way, Jay Hogan is an incredible author. And if you've never read her and you love like deep and complex stories with beautiful writing, set in New Zealand, I highly, highly recommend her. This once again is The Art of Husbandry. It is Mackenzie Country, book one by Jay Hogan.
So my next book is a book I very much enjoyed and is fairly new. Next Door Nemesis by Alexa Martin. And, you know, really funny story, but this book is also about somebody who goes somewhere to lick their wounds. And this is about Collins Carter, who, after years of hustling, has finally made it but back to her parents' house after 30. Between tending to the compost with her newly retired dad and running into her high school nemesis of all people in the coffee shop in town, Collins realizes the subdivision from hell that she swore she'd never return to is really her rock bottom. And then the homeowners association complaint arrived. Who's her nemesis? Well, he's Nathaniel Adams, who always dreamed of a nice, quiet life in his suburban hometown. At least it was that until Collins walked into it and moved back with her parents. And, of course, predictably, she sends his well-organized life into a tailspin. I mean, he thought she was infuriating 10 years ago, but when she announces that she's going to run against him to be the president of the Homeowners Association, all bets are off. From secret board meetings to vicious smear campaigns, Collins and Nathaniel take their competition to levels we can't even imagine, and they sink to levels that their sleepy suburb has never seen before. But as hate turns into lust, my very favorite thing, these two enemies are forced to reckon with the feelings they've been hiding for years. If only they were bylaws for real life. If you want to know what happens between these two neighbors and this competition, and I want to know who gets president after all, you have to read Next Door Nemesis by Alexa Martin. And I have to say, I'm not doing it justice. I was in a terrible book slump and I started this book and didn't stop until I was finished. It was so, so much fun.
Oh, sorry. I was talking and I was muted. I love Alexa Martin. I love her. Fumbled and her play. I love those books so much. I think they're delightful, and I haven't read this one yet, so I need to pick it up. It just came out pretty recently, didn't Natalia?
I'm not Natalia, yeah, but like just November.
Okay,
yeah. It was just so much fun. I don't know, but every time she comes out with something, I just want to read it.
My favorite is Better Than Fiction, the one that's set in a bookstore.
I haven't read it yet. Is that in Colorado, like in Denver or something?
I think.
Is it what?
Is that one set in Denver?
I can't remember the city. I don't
remember.
I feel like her books, I have like three of them on my, I feel like a broken record, but I have three of them on my wish list too. And I need to get back to her stuff. But
yep.
So many books and so little time, right? My second book of the evening is called Out on a Limb, and it's by Hannah Bonham Young. And this book is a treasure, and I loved it so very much. It's about Winifred, or Win. And Win has always really kind of prided herself on not really allowing her limb difference to kind of hold her back. And she has just sort of lived her life and just, you know, she's figured out ways to adapt to not having a hand. And she is celebrating at one of her friend's epic Halloween parties. And she meets a really cute stranger named Bo. And she and Bo really hit it off during this epic Halloween party. There might have been some alcohol involved. And they decide that they're going to have a one-night stand, which they do. Uh-oh. And then like, oh, see ya. Nice to meet you. It's been great. Peace out. But then, you know, sometimes things happen. Things that might take, like, let's say, 9 months to resolve.
Uh-oh.
And so now Wynn is in the position where she has to reach out to this stranger named Bo to let him know that, oh, surprise, you're not done with me yet. You're going to be a dad. And she's quite surprised when Bo is just really excited about the prospect of parenthood and having a baby.
I love that.
I know. And, you know, and so he just wants to jump right in. He wants to marry her. And she's like, well, let's just like take about 500 giant steps back here. Let's just kind of like do this as friends. And so after a series of events, they decide they're going to move in together during the pregnancy, but just sort of live platonically and just so he can be there to support her during her pregnancy.
And that's going to work.
Right. And so as they get to know each other, you know, the chemistry that was there during their first night together remains. And it gets harder and harder to live in this sort of like roommate-esque sort of co-parenting sort of model for both of them. And, you know, there's not much else I can really say about the actual plot of the book. But what I really want to address here is that Hannah Bonham Young is an Own Voices author, and the disability representation in this book is beyond stellar. It doesn't like smack you, right? It doesn't smack you over the head with like, you know, a bunch of information and stuff like that, but it's handled with sensitivity and like respect and loveliness, and it doesn't shy away from some of the difficulties, but you know, it just sort of highlights that people with disabilities can have families too. And it just was a really, really gorgeous book. And I don't always talk about like sexy times in a book. You know, I like to keep this fairly PG. I mean, I am the one that brought up certain bedroom activities, you know, I mean, in one of our first episodes, but I mean, usually I don't talk much about that, but in the, I know, right? I know. But in this book, I have to say that the sex scenes weren't many, but probably the most gorgeous I've ever read, and just so just lovely, and just like kind of demonstrating the sense of connection and respect that the characters had for each other and disability. And I love this book a lot. It's going to be one that I don't reread a lot of books, but I will reread this one. And I don't typically enjoy books with like the surprise pregnancy trope. That's not my favorite, but this was so beautifully written and just so lovely that I just wish everybody in the whole world who enjoys romance and positive disability representation would pick up Out on a Limb by Hannah Bonham Young.
Okay, my second book tonight is a reread because I was in a book slump. It's called Fine Things by Danielle Steele. And I don't remember when it was written, but I remember reading it as a freshman in high school. Anyway, it tells the story of Bernie Fine. Bernie lives in New York in the beginning of the book, and he's a wealthy apartment store owner. So he moves to San Francisco to open up a new location, and he feels like, there's something missing in my life right now. I'm a bachelor, but I should be happy about this. Then one day, a little girl gets lost. Her name is Jane. And he finds her and reunites her with her mother. And not only does he reunite the daughter with the mother, he begins a relationship with the mother. And they end up getting married and having a son of their own. And then the mother gets cancer and passes away. And so the rest of the story talks about Bernie and how he's taking care of Jane and also looking for love. And there's some kidnapping and lots of violent things. And the pediatrician becomes his next love interest. That's Fine Things by Danielle Steele.
So my next book is for all of you who love the royals. Or if not the like specific British royals that actually exist, sort of the idea of the British monarchy and maybe what it could be or should be. This is American Royalty, American Royalty, Book One by Tracy Livesay. And this one gives like really strong Prince Harry and Meghan Markle vibes. And I loved it for that, but I loved it for all sorts of other reasons too. So Dani Nelson is a professional woman. She is a Black rapper, and she also owns a skincare company. And she is determined that she's going to live life on her terms, because when she was a child, that didn't necessarily happen for her. Like, a lot of other people had control of her life, and that's not what Dani wants anymore. Now, her stage name is Duchess, and that's important in a moment. We also have Prince Jameson, and he tries his best to stay out of the limelight. He doesn't want people to really pay attention to the fact that he's a royal. He's a professor at the university in Birmingham, and it would just be great for him if the whole prince thing kind of disappeared. But there are a lot of royal scandals in his family. And so the queen decides that the best thing to do about this is to have a massive celebration for her husband, who's been dead now for some years, But she wants to do something like in his memory, or she says it's in his memory. Maybe it is. I don't know. It might be more just to like project a positive image of the royal family. But either way, they're going to do this. And she decides that because Jameson has stayed out of the spotlight for so many years, he would be the perfect person to be like front and center here. He hates this. Hates, hates, hates. So he does his best to avoid like all of his responsibilities. And so when he's asked to choose one of the musical acts to participate in this concert that's part of the celebration, he asks like just somebody in a bar, like, what is like, you know, who is your favorite performer? And this random guy tells him it's a Duchess. And he's like, oh, great. Like, this is, you know, to honor like the late prince. So like, someone named Duchess would be perfect. So they get Duchess to participate. And, you know, she's dealing with some things of her own. She's in the midst of a kind of feud with this up and coming pop star who's just like dogging her every move. And you know, this isn't going well. So she figures like some time overseas plus a little bit of, you know, some of the royal like spotlight for herself, like that can't be a bad thing, right? It will perhaps boost some of the interest in her skincare company that this feud has kind of tarnished a little bit. So she goes to England, and of course, sparks fly between her and Jameson. And that is the start of such a delightful, delightful romance. It does talk about like themes of race and class and kind of what role the monarchy really has in like modern day society. But at its core, it is fantastic, like escapist fiction. I loved it so much. I think the second book, which is called The Duchess Effect, is a little bit heavier in some ways. It follows them, you know, as they figure out like how to deal with problems, you know, in their relationship caused by royalty. But it is just incredible. If you've never read Tracy Livesay, please do. She is absolutely incredible. This is American Royalty. American Royalty, Book One by Tracy Livesay.
Well, my last book of the night, I just talked about it not too long ago, and I read it. And, you know, I've been waiting for this book, but you know how it is when there's a romance trilogy of connecting characters, and you know that the third book is always going to be the best, and then it's either underwhelming or it's exactly what you expect, and you enjoy it, you know, because you like that kind of trope. That's me. But this book, man, I loved it so much more than I expected to. And that's why it bears a mention. Because these days I'm really slumpy with romance. So this is Through the Glen, The Highlands, Book 3 by Samantha Young. And it's on Kindle Unlimited. So yeah, come read it now. And this book is about Theo Cavendish, who is a cynical, weary Londoner, and he is a screenplay writer, kind of bitter for a lot of reasons. And well, there's a housekeeper who works at the Ardnoch Castle. For those who haven't read the series, the Ardnoch Castle estate is a castle that was renovated for actors, actresses, celebrities that can afford a membership to have a basic 24-hour resort-like place in the Highlands. Except for the cold, it sounds like my dream place. I mean, there's yoga, there's food 24/7, there's the Highlands, there's beautiful Scottish men, but it's cold. So that's rough for me. But guess what? But there's a beach and there is sand and sea, so I might actually be able to deal. So he's a member of Ardnoch, and Sarah McCulloch is a housekeeper, but she has decided to quit her job. And on the last day of her job, she approaches Theo with a proposition. She, turns out, is a secret author who has a multi-million dollar best-selling series mystery of a detective and a serial killer. It sounds so good. Honestly, I want to read this series, and it's not even real. But she wants to bring it to television, and she doesn't think that anybody is going to do her characters justice more than Theo. And so she propositions to him that they write the screenplay for her first and second novel, and that he direct the TV show, and that he do the screenplay. And, well, he doesn't receive her too well. He kind of, you know, doesn't believe it at first, but then she leaves him one of her books, and he's kind of running away from the British aristocracy because he's the second son of a Viscount, and he gets bored and he starts reading the book, and he's completely sucked in. So he finds her, and he proposes that they work on the first season of the show together. And they end up working together at a cottage on the beach, or by the beach, all alone for months. Does that sound like you know where this is going? But Sarah, at the end of the day, never expected that he would say yes, or to show up, that he would show up on her doorstep ready to write with her, or that weeks spent alone in her cottage together would mean that they would form an intense but undeniable connection. And it's a bond that Theo, who doesn't let anyone get to know him and who is ever the cynic, has a hard time accepting because he's terrified, but at the same time, he can't bear to be without. However, when they finally venture out of their bubble, Theo realizes that he'll have to battle more than his own inner demons to protect Sarah from hurt, because he has another fan, one intent on bringing the darkness relevant from his most successful TV show into the light. And in that case, Theo could be in danger of losing Sarah forever. Now, this sounds like a typical romance with lots of tension and lots of, I guess, character development that you will enjoy. And it is that. But I don't know. It really hit me in an unexpected way. And I always enjoy Samantha Young and all her novels, but I have to say that I read a couple of the other ones in the last year. This is my top for at least the last like 5 or 6 books. I really, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Theo. It was so nice to get to know him, and nice to get to know Sarah as well. And I don't know, I think she should write those books. I really want to read about those characters that were alluded to in this novel. So this is Through the Glen, the Highlands series, book 3, by Samantha Young.
I own the first one in this. Is it Through the Thistles, Into the Thistles? Something with thistles in it. And
I liked it very much too. I like all of them.
Yeah, it's on my iPad. I just I haven't read it yet. So now I'm excited to read the trilogy so I can get to this one. So usually I really struggle with like, okay, what have I read lately? What should I talk about? Like for an episode, if I've been doing a lot of binge reading, but I knew the minute that Shannon started talking about a romance episode that I had to talk about In a Jam by Kate Canterbury. This is my first book by this author. And it was honestly, like, I know I feel like a broken record again, but it was perfection from the first page to the end. And I just loved everything about it. This book is about Shay, and it opens on her wedding day. She's standing in her giant princess gown, poofy everywhere princess gown, in the hotel suite with all of her friends helping her get ready, when her phone rings. And guess who it is? It's her fiance breaking up with her as he is driving somewhere not at the church. And so Shay and her best friends have to deal with the fallout of him leaving her. And she finds out that all of his family knew the night before that he was breaking things off. But he waited until, I think it was 30 minutes before the ceremony, to break it off with her. Rude. And, right. You know, very. And so Shay was living with him, so she has to move in with her, one of her best friends, and And so she's just kind of like living in a funk, and she's a school teacher. She's a teacher. And so she has all summer off to brood and day drink and just to be miserable in her friend's loft on a couch with all of her possessions, like in, you know, milk crates and garbage bags all around her friend's loft living room in Boston. But one day she gets a letter, and this letter lets her know that her step grandmother has left her tulip farm. She's passed away and left her tulip farm in Friendship, Rhode Island. And Shay's kind of like, oh, I don't, you know, I spent high school there, but I don't need to go back to Friendship. But she thinks about it a minute, and she's like, you know, this might be a good way for me to kind of get away from my grief a little bit, like maybe find like some perspective, get away from this. And so she lugs all of her milk crates full of crap out of her friend's loft and packs it up in her car. And she, you know, takes off with a few sleeves of crackers and I don't even know, granola bars. And she's going to drive to Friendship, Rhode Island. But let me pause here and talk about her friend group. She has a group of amazing female friends. They all teach together at the same lovely school in Boston, and they've all gotten very close. And they all support her as she kind of begins on this journey. She's, you know, required to check in so often, and they're going to come down this specific weekend if she decides to stay there. And they're going to make sure that Shay's okay. Well, Shay gets to Friendship, Rhode Island, and she goes to pull into her farm, and there's all these big trucks that are painted like cows, like blocking her driveway. And she's kind of like, what the hell?
Like, so cows? She looks
like cows, moo? Like moo cow, bovine. Yes.
Okay.
And she's just kind of like, what? So she drives to the next farm over where there's the same sign that's on the trucks.
Oh, dear.
And she's stomping through this like huge farm that she doesn't remember from her time in Friendship, Rhode Island, which used to be this teensy, tiny little town. And all of a sudden it's like not. And she's, you know, stomping through. There's like barns, and there's like a gift shoppity place and a jam selling, just all these different. And like, I want to say there's orchards and, oh my God. And she's like, oh, she's just trying to find somebody to move these damn trucks, because she just wants to get in her house. She's been driving for hours and hours with crackers and granola bars, and she's just ready to be in her grandmother's farmhouse. Oh, you know what? I need to back up one more moment, because there were two stipulations about Shay receiving this tulip farm. The first is that she has to live there for a year, and the second is that within that year, she needs to be married. Womp, wah. And she's like, well, I just got dumped. So, but she decided, you know, because she has that year long kind of amount of time, grace period, that's why she decided to go to the farm. I apologize for not adding that. So as she's stomping through this gorgeous farm, this young girl, about 6 years old, catches her attention and starts talking to her and like dropping F-bombs and cussing like a sailor. And in fact, she's dressed like a pirate with a sword and an eye patch.
Oh, my.
And she's there with what Shay believes is her father. And she starts talking to the man about moving out all the cow trucks. And he was actually doing it to be kind, because people used to go and park on her property. But what she doesn't realize is that this very gorgeous, fit, buff man is her nerdy best friend from high school, Noah Barden. In high school, he was overweight and much shorter and had acne and was a total nerd, but he was her best friend, and she did not recognize him. So things begin to sort of unfold, and you know, she's still like kind of rattling around her mostly empty farmhouse on this tulip farm, day drinking and not eating much and just being all depressed. And somehow she ends up, because she's a teacher, she starts tutoring Noah's, who's not Noah's daughter, actually, Noah's six-year-old niece, who he has now adopted. And Noah's six-year-old niece, they're not sure if she's ready to progress to first grade from kindergarten. And so Shay decides that she will do some tutoring to help out Noah and to help out Jenny. So all during the rest of that summer, she spends time at Noah's farm, tutoring Jenny, who is one of the highlights of this book. And, you know, he keeps doing things like feeding her homemade bread with homemade jam and just, you know, inviting her to dinner and making sure every once in a while she gets out of her house. But he's so grumpy now. He's not like the guy she used to know. He was always quiet, but now he's just so grumpy. And she can't figure out what she's ever done to make him so angry. And so things progress. She is able to find a job as a substitute teacher in town. And she and Noah start spending more time together. And then things progress even more. And he proposes a marriage of convenience so she can keep her farm. And you know what, friends? That's where I'm going to leave you, because this book is so gorgeous. I don't want you to know too much before you read it, because it's just full of so much amazingness. But what I will tell you is I love that our heroine is a plus-size heroine, and there is discussion of her body. There is some fat shaming, but also just, you know, most of the time she's very comfortable with who she is and what she looks like. She has a lot of sort of character development she has to go through because of things that have happened in her life, with her family, with her parents, with her horrible, horrible douchey ex. And while she's kind of grappling with all this, she and Noah are very slowly coming together again in this town of Friendship, Rhode Island, that is so different from the town that she left behind and thought she never wanted to return to. This book includes strong female friendships, found family, a really sexy cinnamon roll hero who can be a really dirty talker. It's just a completely lovely book with really well-developed characters, and I highly, highly recommend it. It's In a Jam by Kate Canterbury.
My last book for tonight is called It Happened One Summer. It's by Tessa Bailey. And it's one I've kind of picked up a few days ago. But I have two other books I'm reading at the same time. So I'm kind of going between them. But this tells the story of Piper. Piper is rich, spoiled, and loves to party. Piper decides to do something that gets her put in jail. And then her sister bails her out. And her stepfather is tired of both of them. So he sends them back to the town where they were born and to make a go of the dive bar that her father had left them. So here this spoiled rich girl is with no money and in this small town and working at this bar. Well, one day Brendan, who's a fisherman, comes in and they meet. And there's chemistry and attraction, but they don't like each other at all. And Tessa Bailey kind of makes it more of a hot, slow burn, basically, because Brendan is insecure. He figures that once they get this bar going and able to stand on its own, Piper's going to leave. And that's where I'm going to leave you, because you can figure out what happened with Piper and Ryan. And there are some slow burn and yet spicy times in this book. That's It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. And it's book one in a series that I don't have the title in front of me yet.
And they weren't joking. Yes, and they weren't joking when they when Tessa Bailey did not pull her punches. She was a spoiled diva. at the beginning, Piper was.
You did read this.
I did read this.
So my last book tonight is Something Wild and Wonderful by Anita Kelly. This is the second in, it's not a series, like it's not listed as a series, but the characters do kind of interconnect in some ways. So this is the story of Alexi and Ben, and they are hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. Why are they doing this? Well, they have their reasons, but I don't think there'd be any reason that would be good enough for me to walk like so many miles and not be able to take a shower regularly and have to eat like gross trail food. No. But for Ben and Alexi, this like huge hike seems like exactly what they need. So Alexi has just kind of cut ties in a way with his ultra religious family. They were very, very upset when they found out he was gay, and he doesn't really feel like he fits anymore. He felt like he had to choose between his identity and his family, and that was super difficult for him. There is a lot of talk of religious trauma here, so definitely be aware of that if that's something that you are sensitive to. Mm-hmm. Ben, on the other hand, has been out for what seems like forever, and his family and his friend group are all super supportive of him, but he feels like he always gets into relationships like too quickly. And he ends up making mistakes in his own life because of the relationships he's in. And so he decides that hiking the trail will kind of give him a reset, time to focus on himself and, you know, maybe not like make a fool out of himself for men. But they meet on the trail, and Ben is immediately drawn to sort of the socially awkward Alexi. And they start out as hiking partners, kind of reluctant friends at first. And then, of course, things heat up because they're spending, you know, days, weeks alone together on this trail. And, you know, sometimes they encounter other hikers, but not too often. And this is just a really nice, really well-written story of two people who each kind of come to their queer identities in a different way. And it kind of reminds you that there's no one right way to approach these things, right? Like there's no one way to fall in love. There's no one way to be queer. There's really no one way to live life. And these two who come from vastly different backgrounds have to figure that out as they're, you know, doing this grueling physical activity. I am not a fan, as you could tell by my, like, you know, intro to this. I am not a fan of like hiking and much kind of sporty, you know, activity, but I do really like Anita Kelly's writing. And I think this was sort of the perfect foil for these two to kind of figure themselves out. There's a lot of character growth here, not in a way that feels like forced, but just in a way that reminds us that we can always grow and change. This is Something Wild and Wonderful by Anita Kelly. I loved it so much. And her new book comes out next week. I am super excited for it.
Okay, so those are 12 romances to kind of bring you closer to Valentine's Day. I realize we didn't have a ton of variety in terms of like genre here, you know, subgenre of romance. A lot of these, I think all of these actually were like contemporary in one way or another. But that's okay. That is what we are reading right now. If contemporary is not your thing, we have many, many romance episodes in the podcast archives that you can find. So look those up if you're looking for something a little different than contemporary. Thank you so much to Natalia, Melissa, and Stacy for joining me tonight. As always, thanks goes out to Christine for all of her fantastic editing. And of course, we thank each and every one of you so much for joining us each week as we talk about great books.
If you would like to let us know your thoughts, you can do that by leaving us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you use to access the show. And not only does it allow us to see your feedback, but it also helps other book lovers to find us, which is a great thing. So I will be back next Tuesday morning with more bookish fabulousness. And some number of us will be back on Friday with more discussion of great books. Take care, everybody.